I fell into a ring of fire. I fell in.
Let's see it.
When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever.
Oh, I wish I was in Wellington. The wind is
cutting. Hello, and welcome to Fever FM. Tonight I am joined by Dale, Dave, and Cam. Elena has lost her voice, so has sent notes just in case we needed a legitimate opinion on what we're talking about. Let's just crack straight in. Let's talk the men's game first before we do a review of the women's season. This is versus Central Coast Mariners in Gosford on the weekend. First versus second. Did no real surprises with the 5-3-2 formation, gents?
Yeah, I think without Rufa there, I think it was probably the most likely surprise, I guess, that Sheridan was the one who came in. I think it was first start, I think, wasn't it? So, maybe a little surprised that maybe Sullis didn't go back there and they did some kind of Pennington cry of old midfield that they did previously when Rufa wasn't there. But I think on the most part, it looked pretty similar.
I was pleasantly surprised. I thought Sheridan looked decent, that outing he had previously where he played it right back. And Salas, I don't think it's his position.
Well, yeah, I think Sheridan did pretty well. Seemed to have a lot of gas in his legs. He got up and back when he had to and didn't really, embarrass himself or anything like that. So it was a pretty solid performance from him, especially in a, pressure game like that.
Yeah, we saw them obviously promoting that left side again with Sutton playing wide left, Kelly Hill playing the left centre back. Again, probably no surprise there, except possibly how well Sutts played. Cam, what do you reckon? How do you reckon Sutts went? Was he as good as I thought he was?
Oh, I bet. No idea, buddy. I haven't seen the game. I was out on Friday on Saturday night, and I haven't managed to see anything since. So I'm not going to be able to help you at all with this one.
Sorry, I threw you under the bus then.
You didn't know that. I have already told you that. So thank you for throwing me under the bus. I appreciate it.
Yep.
I was out at a 50th, and I really wanted them to have that the game on, but they didn't.
But we don't pay you good money to not watch games, Cam.
You don't pay me good money. You could have left that sentence a lot shorter.
I thought Sutton was excellent. He was out, particularly in that first half, showed a lot of close control in tight situations, got up the line lots, delivered a couple of dangerous balls, and I think probably somewhat that performance in pink, the one the week before, probably highlights that I think he's still quite far ahead of Kelly Heald in that left back role. I think he just offers a bit more, particularly going forward, and has a much more dangerous crossing and passing game about him.
Yeah, totally agree. I think Kelly Heald's really good defensively, and he's done a solid job, but I don't think anyone comes close to Sutton as far as that fullback spot. Probably Payne is the only one that's, on par with him. But obviously, if you're only promoting one of those guys forward with Payne, who was on the bench, actually, we should add. So a very rapid recovery from his hamstring injury, which was pleasant. Let's get to the unpleasant, though. Pennington, Jesus, wept. As much as we've been saying how improved he was this season, he regressed something awful this game.
Yeah, I think it was noticeable not having Rufa in there that we just didn't have, and particularly I think in that first half, not as much second, that we just didn't look like we had patches of control. We just looked like we were getting a little bit overrun in that first half. Not that, that was streaming through us or anything like that. We just didn't really have parts of the game where we knocked the ball and kept position well and looked like we were in control of what we wanted to do. I'm not necessarily sure that's just him, but I think, Rufa's ability to turn in tight spaces, receive the ball under pressure, play out in his breakup game, I think was certainly noticeable that we didn't have that to the same level in that game and how that flowed for the rest of the game.
Yeah, actually that's a kind of a good point. It's like I was thinking that Rufus was missing because of that breaking up, but yeah, his ability to retain possession.
Yeah, and I wonder as well how much might be down to them kind of having established their roles now, you know, being used to the other person picking up certain elements of the game. You know, I think Pennington potentially has got a bit used to the role that Roof is playing in there, and suddenly his absence leaves a bit of a hole, and you know, it isn't his natural game anymore to necessarily be doing those things, because they, I think Chiefy has found quite a good balance in that midfield across the season in terms of finding the things that each of those players are good at. And I do wonder if it's not complacency, but maybe just familiarization with knowing what the other people are going to be doing, where they're going to be, which role they're going to play in that midfield. And suddenly you pluck one piece of it out and it doesn't just immediately snap back into, I've got to do everything again.
I think what we've seen this season is, I think Pennington's best role is that in a bit more of a box-to-box role, where he is getting forward a bit more, making that kind of late run. He obviously has like a good level of fitness to be able to get around the park. And I think when he has to kind of sit in and do that pivot role, he's just not as good as Roofer. And that's, you know, that just highlights how good Roofer's been this season, and how important he has been to the, as a collective, as a team. You know, his role in there is key.
This game really didn't start particularly well. A lot of warning shots fired by Mariners. There was a shot early on, but also Michael Duca hit the post, I think, from set piece maybe, or from certainly the top of the box. It was starting to get a bit squeaky bum early doors. Dale, did you think that we were going to weather this, or were you starting to see the writing on the wall?
I watched this on replay, so I knew, obviously knew the results. So I knew they weren't scoring from any of them, but yeah, I think early on, I think Kelly Hill passed it straight to Nisbet, didn't he? And they had a good shot that was blocked, I think, from Sermon. But yeah, there's a couple of other instances, particularly free kicks given away in slightly different, slightly dangerous positions. Somewhat, a couple of them kind of a bit needless as well. So yeah, certainly that first half, they had just a consistent, not like a 10-minute patch of, you know, under pressure, but just a consistent set of chances that they didn't put away in that first half, and we were probably like, yeah, pretty fortunate to go in at halftime at nil.
Yeah, it certainly felt like we were making mistakes in our back third, and certainly that central third. I remember Pennington put a couple of passes. I think it was Kelly Heald that passed straight to Nisbet. Yeah. And realistically, the only way we ever got the ball forward was Sutts making a break, beating two, jinking back, beating another two. I do wonder about the combination of Sutts and Old on that left side. It feels like they're both trying to play those overlapping runs, and I wonder whether it's just a combo thing they haven't played much lately, or whether it's they're kind of not used to promoting that left side, and Old's thinking that's where his space is. He looked a lot better in that second half, though, I should say. I thought it's worth mentioning that Sermon and Wooten looked really solid. I thought that we haven't seen a lot of them lately, because the formation has been pretty good, and defensively, as a unit, they've looked good. But Mariners, I think, were breaking through to that our back four or back five. And I thought Sermon and Wooten kind of had to step up a few times and did so, which is pleasant. I mean, obviously Sermon's still got that massive bandage on his head from, I think it was Rufus Spriggs at All Whites training. So he's obviously got a bit of a cut there after 2 weeks. What do you think was missing, Dale, with progressing the ball? Was it just Mariners who were reading us, or was it just we were missing something, or I don't know, just something wasn't working?
I'm not sure I'm smart enough to kind of give you an answer for that, but I mean, definitely the second half, it looked much more even. And I think perhaps we might have, outside of the three goals, which were all very excellent goals, we probably had two of the better chances in, after those. You know, we had that Costa header that was cleared off the line onto the crossbar and then fell straight to Vukovic. And then Old had a pretty good chance from a very tight angle and tried to roof it and went over. So, yeah, I'm not sure if there was a kind of tactical change that I haven't noticed, probably. but we definitely seem to have in that second half, you know, compete basically on the same level, I think, as them. And it was a bit of a shame that after surviving the first half, we and, you know, going in nil, that we couldn't sort of retain it for the rest of the second half.
It's kind of worth saying, we've made a point of emphasising how few chances we create, but how we seem to take them. This was a game we didn't take those chances. We did create a couple of chances in that first half and early second half and didn't take them. I think there was one early doors with Crive who scuffed one. Costa got an opportunity in the second half as well. Old had at least one, and they didn't. They weren't high percentage ones, but they're the ones that we've seen them take in previous games.
Yeah, I think the old one, I think it was in the first half, and I think we did quite a good. We went straight up the guts, like from the defence to, it must have been Pennington. It was just straight through, like one touch through the middle, and I think Old got into the edge of the box. And it might have been Hall or Celtic did a fairly spectacular sliding block as he was shooting, but. Yeah, I think that Crive one was pretty good earlier on as well. Mm. It's kind of like, you know, on another day, maybe this game plays out slightly different, but I think on balance of the whole game, they probably deserved, I think, the win based on just the quantity of chances they created, particularly in that first half.
It's probably worth noting as well that even when we did make the breaks, that their defence held pretty firm. I thought Celtic had a pretty good game. We bag on about his ability to make a big mistake and possibly go through, you know, 3 to 4 players at knee height. But, man, I thought he did very well. I think it was him that put that sliding block in across the top of the box as well. Timed it perfectly. Just a shame he had a good game against us. We should talk goals because this is just going to get sad for me if we talk about this game too much longer, because I got very angry and sad, and then angry and sad at the same time. What was the first one? It was the Mariners header by Torres. Just simple football, really.
Pretty handy build-up play, I think. The ball from Docker through to, I think, Storm Roo was well-timed. Sutton, I think it's hard to blame him, because he knew he was tracking the runner, was tracking the inside line, and put in a fairly good, you know, slide to try intercept it, and just missed it, and that's what created the space. So it's not like he got lazy or wasn't paying attention. He knew where the danger was and was trying to, you know, close it, but didn't quite get it. And the pass was, you know, was inch perfect, and then the ball across was also dangerous. I think it happened a minute basically after Payne came on, and it was kind of his marker who came inside, and he didn't track him quite as well. So it's like one of those ones where, you know, maybe if the same thing happened 5 minutes later, Payne maybe a bit more up to speed, a bit more into the game, maybe it happens a bit differently. Or if we had the same personnel on and it happened 2 minutes earlier, maybe it's different. But, you know, football's a game of fine margins, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very unfortunate, I think. Fair juice to Torres. He did make a good angled run in towards that back post to pick up their header. As you mentioned, Payne coming on, getting 30 minutes, which I thought it's good news for the rest of our season. Hammies can be a real pain in the ass for not repairing themselves quickly, but obviously his one's picked up okay. Who else came on? Alte came on as well. For Salas. The goal for the Knicks, I want to give a massive shout out for Van Hattem, actually. He ran his guts off that game.
My boy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many minutes he played in the end, but he probably covered as many kilometres as anyone out there and played a cracker of a low cross. I think it was Costa that played the ball through for him. Ran on brilliantly, just curled it straight across the face of goal, just past Vuka, just past the two central defenders who were in perfect position. And Ben Old has got the simplest of tap-ins. This was, again, simple football, but just beautifully executed.
Yeah, and we've seen these types of goals quite a bit. I've seen a lot of commentary that people say we're kind of a counter-attacking team. And to some extent, I guess we are. But this is another example of where we've started with the ball in our own box with all 11 opposition players in front of us. Now, that by definition can't be a counter-attacking goal, but we've, you know, dragged them one way, dragged them another, and then at the point that we want to, have ramped up the tempo and gone through the midfield and created that space. And we've done that quite a few times with those kind of goals that are, you know, 10, 12, 15 passes in the lead up to open them up.
See, I don't think we're a counter-attacking team at all. We just invite the press, which creates the space for those wide players. So when we go quick. But we, if we look at that first goal we scored against Brisbane here, that was all build-up play, but the actual goal-scoring action was very quick once we decided to go to the wide players. So it's not that we're counter-attacking, it's just that when we break, we do break fast. Quite comfortable with holding the ball and inviting the players to come on top of us first, though.
Do you want to rephrase that, Cam? Okay, you're good with it. That's fine.
Oh, I'll live with what I've said.
Nice. I love it. Do we really want to discuss this goal? I mean, for me, this was threatening all game. Docker looked like he was absolutely gagging for a shot from the top of the box, and he finally got one where our midfield line had collapsed into our back line. I think it was Conchi, it ended up dropping back and no one had kind of covered. And fair dues to the guy. He has absolutely ripped the cover off it and curled it round Paulson, who's had a real good crack at it, but that's just nestled in the side. I mean, you'd be pretty stoked if you hit that, wouldn't you, Dale?
Oh, yeah, and I don't think you can get too upset getting done by a goal like that. Yeah, I think, you know, previous times we've talked this season about our defensive structure causes players to shoot from distance, and Docker's had maybe six or seven of those efforts in that game. And every now and again, they'll score a ripper, even if it's a low percentage chance. And we had, I think, what was it, three in that Perth game where we won 4-3? And we're like, oh, well, maybe that was the game where it all got flushed out, but Perth was so crap that we managed to beat them anyway. But really breaks your balls, doesn't it, when you got back into the game. And I think probably that last 20 or 25 minutes, I think we were probably the more dangerous looking. They didn't, after we scored, they didn't look like they had much except this one chance that, you know, I think Krajev was probably a very tired, fatigued challenge on the ball. And Conchi was probably caught a little bit too deep and didn't get out quite enough. But I don't know, if you're going to get done in the last minute, it might as well be a ripper than a, you know, goal mouth scramble that makes you get a bit more frustrated at it.
Counterpoint, it still sucked.
Yes. And when I was watching the replay, I turned the game off at 90 minutes knowing what was to come next. And
you walked away.
Did not decide to just decide this. I can't deal with this too much. Yeah, can't, I just don't want to deal with it.
In Fever Towers, obviously, there has been much consternation. And I think it's Dale, Captain Positive, been calling us out for being a bit down on it. And it's like, I think it's the frustration of knowing that we were just this close. And I mean a very, very small level of closeness from, if we'd gotten that win, that 3 points against the Mariners, it would have seen us six clear. We would have only needed a couple of points to finish, you know, from the next three games to finish first. Even with the Mariners having three relatively easier games than the three that we've got, it just felt like if we'd got that, that would have been us with the Premier's plate all but. Is that how you guys felt?
I mean, for someone who didn't want to dwell on it, I feel like you're dwelling on it a lot. You're really, really putting the nail in the heart. Yeah. Yes. Yes to all of the above.
In some ways, it feels like suddenly we're 3 points behind rather than even. It feel like that's my impression, that people feel like it's done. It's over. Now we just need to protect second place. But yeah, as I said a few weeks ago, you know, Mariners still have to go to Kazakhstan midweek. You know, that's a 25 to 30 hour flight, play a game, come back, probably get a day or two's rest and then have another game. Admittedly against Newcastle, but yeah, whatever. You know, there are still 3 points to go. And if they win all three, then fair play to them. I'm not entirely convinced they will, and I'm not entirely convinced we will either. But you know, we are still even with them on points, so it does, you know, create a little bit of pressure for them, more so than us now, I suppose.
It's worth saying that, as you say, that they've got their game against the Kazakhstani team, but they've also got the return leg as well. So four or five games? They've got two more than us anyway, so it must be five.
Yeah, they've got those two games. And then if they win that, which I'm going to assume that they probably will, they'll have a final, I think, the week after the regular season finishes, where they'll have the top two get a week off. The other thing also to note is that the Socceroos Olympic side is away at qualification from now until potentially the first week of May, I think, basically all the way through to the end of the regular season, potentially the first week if they do well. And there is a number of players in the top six who play regularly, including Farrell for Central Coast, who is quite a key player for them at left back.
Cool.
I think they've got Qualt, but he started against us. But so there's a little bit of depth there as well that they need to work through and manage. So I know it feels like we've lost it, or we've blown it, or whatever you want to describe it. But I feel there's still scope for another chapter.
There's still a lot to play for. I don't think it's over yet.
Right. After all of that, we should talk about the women's season. We thought it was a good idea to devote a good amount of time to discuss this. We've got a few questions here, well, hopefully a few answers as well. Covering the basics, really. Player of the season, under 20 player of the season, goal of the season, most disappointing aspect of the season, the biggest surprise, and re-signing priorities. Unless anyone has any objection, I'm just going to pull them out of the hat. So let's start with the under 20 player. Anyone want to kick us off here? I think Dale, you suggested the under 21, because otherwise there was probably only a couple of players that were eligible.
Yeah, let's go under 21. Okay.
So if you need to scramble, just let me know.
Yeah, I was having a look at ages of the side. I did not clock that Kate Taylor is still 20. Mm. I think I'll go Kate Taylor. I reckon she's stepping into a new role at that age and looked, you know, quality in there. Yeah, I'm sticking with her.
Cam?
I agree, me too. The only other shout for me would have been Mania Elliott.
What about you, Dave?
Yeah, I think if we're going under 20, I would have to agree. I think it's Kate Taylor. I think if we were doing 21, some other players come into the mix. But for an under 20 player, yeah, Kate Taylor.
Yeah, I was pretty much the same. Kate Taylor, I think, is pivotal for this team. The only reason I was kind of iffy about it was that she just missed so many games. If it was basically Macy Fraser was my only other shout, just because I haven't seen many players come into their first professional season and turn them into a target for the opposition defence quite the way she has. It was very gratifying.
I think you could, well, depending on where you want to pick where under 21 sits, I think you probably say that Macy is probably over 21. She's coming up to 22 now, so.
Yeah, she may well have been.
Technicality.
Yeah, that's the best kind of callity there is. Let's go on to the goal of the season. Dave, why don't you kick us off?
I mean, it's got to be Dale's favourite goal, isn't it? Surely the free kick at Pōrerua. Surely. He loves that one. Surely he's got to pick that one. I'm picking that one. It's the right answer, in my opinion. Yeah. Free kick, Macy Fraser against Western United, round four.
Dale, right of reply.
I would simply suggest that that's not even Macy Fraser's best goal. Her one against Perth was better. Open play from further out, nested on the far corner to secure a win. But also topping that was in the same game, Michaela Robinson's goal, where I think we broke from our own box. I think Wynnum got on the ball about halfway, dribbled about 30 yards, and then played the reverse pass to Michaela Robinson, who tucked it beyond the keeper to put us 2-1 ahead away in Perth.
Before I throw to you, Cam, I want to say two things to Dale. One, I agree with him on his pick, but also at least he acknowledges that Macy Fraser's free kick was a goal. and eligible for this goal.
The one against Perth was a fantastic team goal.
I think Macy scored three. I had a lot of opportunities during the season, and she's blasted a fair few wide and a fair few over. But when it comes off, it came off very, very well. So I'll go for the first one. Can't remember who it was against.
Wanderers.
I will throw in Helena's pick as well. And she said, strange answer, but I think it was Macy Fraser's first goal. It was such a moment of arrival and a vintage Macy goal too, with the drop of the shoulder and the technical proficient low and hard finish. Kind of symbolic for the season in some ways, potential that wasn't lived up to, but also a watershed moment of we are not the same team as we were. We should add that Helena's under 20 player was Macy Fraser, if it's under 21s, otherwise Mania Elliott. What else have we got here? Let's go with the most disappointing aspect of the season. Cam, I'm going to put you on the spot here first.
Probably the way the form fell away after Christmas. It was an incredibly promising start to the year. And sitting third, I think, leading into December, was beyond what any of us expected for the season to show. And it kind of felt like we could definitely get a playoff push. They were victims, obviously, of the schedule and then a couple of moved games because of international windows and the Unite round. So there was an awful lot of travelling in an extended period of time. But I think, the form drop off was the biggest letdown. It was awesome that they were still in with the chance of making the playoffs, like right up to the last week of the season. But off the start of the season, they probably should have had that secured long before then.
Dale, how about you?
Can I have two?
I'm going to have three, so knock yourself out.
But just to take a slightly different tack from Cam, the away thing doesn't bother me too much. It's the times that we led games and ended up losing them. I can think of three, possibly more, where we led games away from home and didn't get anything out of them. And I think those are the kind of the points at which we probably fell out of the six. I guess the other one, most disappointing aspect, is some of the long-term injuries we got this season. I think to key players that I think we struggled to replace to a similar level. And I think that probably combined with kind of the away stuff, I think probably, you know, led to us falling outside of the six.
Dave, what about you?
Yeah, I kind of echo those sentiments. I distilled it down to the phrase, what could have been, because I think there were a lot of elements to it. I think the injuries were a factor. I think the schedule was a factor. That kind of dip in form at such a critical moment was just, it all combined to be a pretty disappointing kind of 4-6 week period there, where it all went from kind of, you know, dizzying highs to a crashing low and ended up with us kind of whimpering out at the end of the season to miss out on playoffs. And I think for me, the most disappointing part was after that start, you know, looking at what could have been from this season, to go from where that team had been the last couple of seasons to what looked like a real kind of coming of age moment, if you will, or something like that. And sadly, it kind of all just petered out in the space of a pretty short period with a lot of factors. And I think for me, that was the most disappointing part. I think there clearly was a lot built on from the previous seasons and they've come a long way. But it felt like we were going to see some real positives out of it. Instead, we kind of saw improvement, but maybe not the massive step change it felt like maybe it was.
Yeah, the three of mine are injuries, for sure, is the first one. The away form, but I think that's probably mitigated by the fact that Temps has never coached in an international league, despite his kind of international experience, and the players haven't as well. So that was kind of what tempered that. But I'm going to be a little bit controversial here and say my most disappointing aspect of the season was Chloe Knott. I get that things change. I get that football isn't life. But to have a player quit part way through the season, that's really disappointing. And I wonder how much it kind of sucked the wind out of those young players' sails to see someone who's that experienced kind of buy into everything and then go, actually, nah, I'm out. For Helena, hers was interesting as well. She said the away form is the obvious answer, but I think fundamentally we didn't get out of the imports what we should have done. Breslin in particular had played for Angel City, and I would have expected more dominance from her at this level, which is probably a fair criticism in the end. Let's move on to the biggest surprise. Dave, I'm going to put you on the spot first.
I mean, mine's one you kind of have already spoken about a bit, but for me, I still find it surprising that we struggled so much away. I feel like, obviously, this is a different team. Obviously, it's different players, different coach. But as a club, this is not a struggle that we haven't seen before. I mean, how many years did we spend trying to figure out the kind of key to unlock being able to win games on the road? And it seems like in the last few years, whatever that formula is as a club, we've kind of unlocked it. And we don't seem to have been able to transfer that over to the women's team. And for me, I find that a real surprise. I don't know what those factors are, but, you know, we know that, you know, even back in the Merrick era and all of that, they were trying all these different things. It's not like this is a problem we haven't tried every strategy under the sun to work with. And I accept that maybe for the women's team, the answer will be slightly different. But surely after this many years of workshopping that, we've got some ideas and we've got some fixes, and it just didn't feel like when this started rearing its head, anything really changed. And for me, I just find that surprising. And I hope that's not a trend. We're going to have to spend 10 years figuring out how to win on the road for the women's side like we did on the men.
Yeah, I've got to agree completely. I thought that it was, I assumed it was going to be a solved problem like Dave, but that away form, and the way it kind of got worse the season went on, there was a couple of games towards the end where they honestly looked like they hadn't met each other, and then they'd go to Porirua Park and play like absolute world beaters. But the my most pleasant surprise was the rise again of Alyssa Winham. I thought she learnt, you know, she's come back from obviously a whole lot of things off the field, not specifically injuries or anything like that. I'm not privy to what it was. But to be able to earn her place back, earn the trust back, come back in there and show that she has learned as a footballer and can get back on and contribute, I thought was great. Cam, how about you? What was your biggest surprise?
On a playing front, I would have gone with Macy Fraser. Obviously, seeing her prior to the season, she's obviously you could see she was a very talented footballer. But the fact that she just slotted in and was just very accomplished from the outset, which is a massive surprise for me, to step into a pro environment at that level was and just own central midfield and run the attacking play for a team that at that time was running riding high in the league was really impressive to see, and certainly a highlight for me. And I also I was quietly surprised, pleasantly surprised at how good Porirua Park was for the team to play at. Facilities wise and stuff from my perspective was excellent. And so I don't know about you guys, but that atmosphere you created was very, very good. The players seemed to warm to it. It was a much more intimate environment, obviously, than the Cake Tin was. It didn't feel like the crowd was lost within the Cake Tin. To be fair, it actually felt like you got bigger crowds in general than were in at the Cake Tin at the start of the games when we were having at the Cake Tin. So, yeah, I think Porirua Park was also a nice, pleasant surprise, and hopefully that's something they can build on moving forward.
Before Dale finishes us off, I'll read Helena's comments. Biggest surprise, how good Cox was. I rated her a bit at North Carolina, but did not know how her style of play would translate and thought she would just be another American athlete. She was quite transformative and looked a genuine threat every time she was on the ball. Dale, what about you?
I think Cam's been reading my notes. Yeah, off the field, I think Pontypool Park was a surprise. I wasn't entirely convinced how many people would go out and what it would be like and whether people, the distance and would be a bit of a challenge for people, but obviously not. And I thought, you know, those are some pretty fun games to be at. I guess on the field, few. I thought Kate Taylor, again, defensive midfielder, I wasn't expecting that. I thought she did really well. And even other players coming in, like Rebecca Lake, first time as a professional, I thought she did well stepping into the role midway through the season. And obviously, yeah, Macy Fraser, not having known much about her apart from the age group, you know, coming in and stamp her mark. Just have something that the team didn't really have in the previous two seasons to be able to unleash that. And obviously, you know, there's some work to do on other aspects of her game and stuff, but it's a you know, pretty solid introduction to professional football for her.
Well said. Let's move on to the big gong. Player of the season. I'm just going to roll out with mine. I kind of had a qualified one and one. Per 90 minutes, I'm gonna throw out there Isabel Cox. I thought she got better and better as the season got on, and her ability to impose herself on games was brilliant. But overall, I'm going to throw out there Mackenzie Barry. I mean, she had the toughest job in the biz. I can't tell you how many centre-back partners she played with, how many different fullbacks she played with, and it was like she carried that defence on her back half the time. I thought she was outstanding. Dale, what about you?
Yeah, similarly, I had Mackenzie Barry. Yeah, I don't think, you know, by any stretch she had the perfect season, but to have different partners, centre-back partners around you is pretty difficult. Yeah, I think that's all I got.
Dave?
Yeah, really, really similar, I guess. I think for me, I would probably tilt slightly towards Macy Fraser, but I think Mackenzie Barry is an equally good shout, and I struggle to separate them. It's just the different aspects of the game they're playing in, and for me, I think the goals that Macy scored and kind of almost single-handedly won some of those games off that. But equally, you can argue the same for Barry in defense, you know, earning some points out defensively. So I think it's a really tight call, but I'll go Macy.
What about you, Cam?
So top three for me. Mackenzie Barry again. You guys hit it all on the head. I don't need to go over it again. Excellent season. Kate Taylor as well, stepping into a role which was unfamiliar to her and making a fantastic go of that position. And it showed how good she was in at six when she wasn't there. So I think, she's throwing her in the top three. But for me, the standout player was Macy Fraser by a significant margin. Our everything good going forward was based around Macy Fraser. She made so many opportunities and created so much positive football for those around her that we wouldn't have been sitting as high as we were in the league had it not been for her in the first part of the season. And yeah, I think she stands out, and I genuinely hope we manage to keep her for another year or two, because she is going to be some footballer with the development that she'll go through in the next 2 years.
Well said. Helena has basically been reading off the same sheet that we have. She said probably Macy Fraser, but honourable mention to Mackenzie Barry for her dependability. So rather unique, I think, that we've all pretty much picked the same players. Just goes to show that how well Macy Fraser and Mackenzie Barry have performed this season. We do want to cover the other big topic for the off-season for the women. Obviously, re-signings with the women's football tending to be very season by season. The off-season is kind of almost as important as the one on the season. So far, the contracted players are Macy Fraser, Mackenzie Barry, Zoe McMeekin, Brazendale, Elliot, and Ingham. I assume the latter three are possibly on scholarships this year?
They're certainly young enough to still be in the academy, so they'll probably go back to the academy in the off season.
Okay. Well, seeing as you're chipping in, Cam, why don't you tell us what you think the signing priorities for the women's team should be?
Was Kate Taylor on that list?
No, she was not.
Then her. 100% Kate Taylor and develop her into a massive six. I think Flea would have been fantastic if she'd managed to stay fit, because just the influence that she has and around the squad off the field is incredible, but the ability she has was sorely missed with her injury issues over the season. So if you can get her, hopefully a fit her, or maybe even Betsy Hassett back, someone like that, I think that would be an ideal kind of signing for experience within that midfield. I would... Of the squad that we've had, I think imports, I'd probably go for Speckmeyer, though I'd like her to be a little more clinical. I think she's missed some opportunities that she should have done better with. Cox, if she'll come back, I have her in a heartbeat. She's fantastic. Emma Main as well, not an import, but I'd still have her on the other side. I saw enough from Breslin to think I'd be quite happy with her coming back. And... she showed a bit of versatility later in the season with having to fill into a couple of positions that she isn't necessarily suited to. So I'll take that. I think the biggest question is possibly at keeper at the moment. Obviously, Bree isn't around. Wasn't around towards the end of the season. And Amy Danielli managed to get her debut, which is fantastic. So I think there's a massive question around a keeper and how we fill that spot. If I'd be quite happy with Bree or Riley, like if Bree's coming back, then we don't need both. If Bree's not coming back, then pick up Riley, that's absolutely fine. But I think, yeah, it's a massive question mark over there, and I think it's going to be quite hard to fill.
Yep, totally agree. My picks are very similar to yours. Kate Taylor's first priority for mine. A bit of solidity in that midfield, the defensive end. Bree Edwards is my second name on the sheet. I don't think that we need an import goalkeeper if we can keep Bree Edwards. If we can't, I'd be starting to look over in Australia pretty quickly. And see what we can find. Third, I think Speckmeyer and or Cox, and if not them, we're looking further afield for a striker, because I'm not seeing a whole lot from our side. Certainly Kelly Brown didn't get a whole lot of opportunities, and with the number of injuries we had, if she wasn't getting opportunities, I suspect she's probably not showing anything just yet. And the weird one I've got out there is Grace Wisniewski. I know that she barely played all season, but I thought that she managed to solidify herself into effectively a starter by the time she got injured. And I think at her age, her ability to show leadership in that midfield, remember she was starting ahead of Macy Fraser, she was starting ahead of most of that midfield. I think she'd be a really good one for the future as well. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, I think we're all going to be repeating a few names here. I guess the only thing is the kind of order of priority, I guess. So I've got Cox as my top priority. I think you need to start that conversation early, and you probably already have if you're going to have any chance of getting her back. I think it's unlikely we get her, but I think she, for me, is one that if she wants to come back, you absolutely have her. You get signature on the dotted line. After that, I've got Taylor and Speckmeyer. I think both of them have shown more than enough. And obviously Taylor, there's some importance there on getting her signed as a young player with such a future ahead of her. I think you get that locked in. And I think Speckmeyer showed enough as well that she's worth offering a contract to as a high priority. The other imports I'm less worried about. I think you can probably replace them with different imports if you need to. So I'm less worried about that. But I'm also not unhappy to see them come back either. But I think they're just... lower down my priority list. And then same as you guys, next is keeper. Whoever it is, I think you don't need all of those keepers re-signed, but you sure as hell need someone to stand between the sticks. Hopefully it's Bree. I think that's the best option in front of us, but obviously there's some stuff going on there, and maybe she's not coming back. So that search needs to start early, because otherwise you are spending an import slot, or you really need to search pretty hard to find another Kiwi or Australian who's willing to play and fill those spots. But then after that, I think you start looking at the good enough Kiwis. Emma Main's the name I've got there, because I think she's shown enough that other teams might be interested. And so there's a few other people in that list as well who, have played a lot of minutes and showing they're good enough for this league, and there might be some clubs sniffing around. So that's my list. But as I say, it's the same names, just priority.
What about you, Dale?
I think similar to Dave, I'm kind of focusing on the key players. One, because I think, you know, you've got a massive international pool of players that if you can't get a couple back, you've still got a fairly sizable market to tap into. So I kind of start with the Kiwi players, and especially with one eye to not to be named club north of Wellington coming in the following year, about trying to get some of these players on longer term contracts. So for me, Taylor, yeah, obviously. Van der Meer, I think, was excellent last season, excellent at the start of the season until she had an injury. So kind of looking down that spine, really. So those are the two kind of sort of big ones for me. And as you say, I think Emma Main's showing she's gone to a different level this year, still at a good age. Five goals, two assists this season is a pretty good return. And then there's another kind of element of a more senior kind of player, whether that's Anneli Longo or someone else who's got a bit of Ferns experience that can kind of just give a bit more experience to some of these younger players, so that we don't have just, you know, early 20s players. So I don't know who that might be, but trying to coax a couple of, you know, Ferns back would be pretty handy too.
It sounds like we've been remarkably consistent with who we think is a priority, which worries me somewhat because normally we are on fairly different pages. Helena has almost said word for word what we have all said. She had Speckmeyer, because I think we can get her. Main, worth locking in. Kate Taylor, more vital than we realised. And I doubt we can re-sign Cox, but she'd be a good get. And then she is name-checked Daniele on the basis that Edwards might or might not be here. So it seems like the gaps are obvious. Before we kind of wrap onto the next game for the men's team, is there anything you guys want to have a final say on about the women's season so far? Like, what? We'll just do a vibe check. Dale, what was your vibe?
What was my vibe? My vibe is, first year we started with 7 points. Second year we started with, got 13. This year we got 28. So we're basically doubling every year. So next year we're going to win the title with 54 points. That's my vibe.
That's some extrapolation. Obviously statistically based though, which is in the family blood.
Can't lie with stats, Frosty. They never lie.
Cam, what was your vibe for the season? Oh, I think Cam's said enough. He's disappeared. Dave, I think I know what your vibe is going to be because you basically said it before, but please reiterate it.
I mean, I don't know what I said before, but I'm sure it's the same. I think, yeah, I think it's the positive that Cam was saying. It's both on and off the field, though. I think it's good to see the team developing, that culture developing, but I think it's also nice to see a fan group developing as well. You know, the faces you see at those women's games, a lot of them are familiar faces, but some of them are also faces that aren't there at the men's games, you know, and the crowd atmosphere is very different at those women's games at Porirua Park. And I think it's real positive to see its own vibe developing.
My thoughts are actually very similar. I kind of had to think about the whole season and went, how positive would I have been after coming in with such a young and experienced team and a new coach and losing player after player after player after player, all those injuries, and they still kept a pretty brave face on it, got thumped a few times over in Australia, still came back to Porirua Park and played well. So I am hoping that this is going to progress on from here. Here's hoping. Big shout out to Temps, I think. Considering what he had to coach through, I thought he did a fantastic job and stuck to his guns with his philosophy as well. And on that note, and the only thing to remain is to just make sure you're all aware of the men's team is back in Wellington, and on Friday night at 7 p.m. they will be playing in the Cape Tin against the Melbourne Victory. Very important game, obviously their third, getting a getting points against Victory will go a long way to assuring a top two finish, if not picking up the Premier's plate. That's probably where we should leave it, gents. Thanks all for your thoughts. I am gratified that we're all seeing the same game. Hopefully I'll see you all at the game in the Caketon on Friday night. And hopefully we see all of you who are listening. Thanks for listening.
City.